Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Let's begin with Joan of Arc, right? So there's a new Joan of Arc theatre play that's being at the done at the Globe Theatre called I, Joan. God, couldn't make it more narcissistic if you tried. It's about the, we'll get into that, what it's about. But you can see from the very title what the impetus and the impulse behind this was. But anyway, just so we know what we're talking about, really, Joan of Arc was a 14th century French maiden, leader and warrior, and eventually a person who was killed by the English for resisting the English conquest of France. But you can definitely say that she played a key and pivotal role in remoralizing the French to continue fighting what would later be called the Hundred Years' War. So she begins in somewhere, was it 1419? Sorry, 15th century, sorry, not 14th century. She begins in the sort of early to mid 15th century, having visions in her little village in France, because it turns out that the English are winning the Hundred Years' War. They control more of France than the French do, and the French are a bit demoralized and dispirited. And she's a very religious young lady, and she begins having visions of the Archangel Michael and various other, you know, Catholic-inspired things, that she should leave her village and go help the Dauphin Charles, who is yet to be crowned as King of France. And during this time, there are several prophecies that are circulating. One being that there is a maid from the borderlands of Lorraine who would come forth to work miracles, and the other that was France was lost by a woman, which was Isabeau of Bavaria, who's being blamed for the Treaty of Troyes, and this would be restored by a virgin. And so she begins calling herself Joan the Maiden, which emphasizes her virginity, because as in this time period, being a maid has a specific connotation. It isn't just you're a woman. It is you are a young virgin woman who is of marriageable age. And so this is specifically a kind of epithet that is given to a particular kind of woman. It is not just a random person. So the womanness of Joan of Arc is deeply important to the story of Joan of Arc. It doesn't make sense if Joan of Arc is not explicitly a woman. That's the point. She declares, of course, that she's sent by God. She persuades Charles, leads the French to a series of victories, unbelievably, and eventually gets captured by the Duke of Burgundy. Charles actually hangs her out to dry. He could have saved her. He could have paid her ransom. Doesn't. She gets shoved off to the English and we execute her. She gets what she deserves. But anyway, so going on to then I, Joan. Okay, well, what does this have to do with the Hundred Years' War? What does this have to do with the Burgundians being in league with the English to parcel up France and the great, again, a great national hero of the French because she was in defense of France itself? Well, the Globe Theatre have told us that they're going to be showing this new play, I, Joan, which shows Joan as a legendary leader who uses the pronouns they, them. Okay, why? Like, what would be the point of that? You've completely undermined the concept of Joan of Arc here. The significance of Joan of Arc is that she isn't a man. She is distinctively a woman doing all of this, right? But they say, oh, we're not the first to present Joan this way. Okay, well, someone else has screwed the story up as well then. And we will not be the last. Probably true. And so they link this this post they have. And they say, we proudly present this new play, Joan of Arc. And they begin in this by saying, well, look, regarding the use of pronouns, they, to refer to a singular person, has been traced back by the Oxford English Dictionary to as early as 1375, years before Joan was born. It's like, okay, well, first thing, whenever you use the term they in response to someone, it's someone you don't know. Whenever you say, oh, they broke in here or they did this, it's because you can't say he broke in here or she broke in here or name that individual. When you have a named individual, it makes no linguistic sense to use plural pronouns in English. And at the end of the day, why even appeal to this? Let's assume that there was no history whatsoever at all of using a pronoun, like a plural pronoun, to refer to a singular person. You'd assert it anyway. Like, you don't care about tradition. You don't care about history. You would bastardize this as much as you could. You using this is to appeal to us as if, oh, well, if it's traditional, then I guess she can do it. No, shut up. It's stupid. And you know what you're doing, right? And so they go on and go, right, okay. Shakespeare didn't write historically accurate plays. Next line. So, like, Shakespeare not having access to, perhaps, to the full wealth of historical information that we have doesn't change the fact that he was at least trying to tell the story of what was happening in, say, something like Macbeth or like Henry V or whatever it is. Like, he's trying to impart a moral lesson to you about those people. It's not I, Joan. It's not I, Macbeth by, you know, William Shakespeare. But the point is, they say, you know, we can believe what we like. We can have a queen of the fairies falling in love with a donkey. So why can't we have a they, them, Joan of Arc? It's like, 'cause it doesn't make any sense in the story. I mean, it might make sense in the story you're telling to have a queen of the fairies falling in love with a donkey. I assume they're talking about A Midsummer Night's Dream. And so that, you know, that's a comedy. Is this a comedy? But B, at least it makes sense within the confines of that story. This doesn't make sense within the confines of this story. So they say, for centuries, Joan has been a cultural icon, portrayed in countless books, films, etc. History has provided countless and wonderful examples of Joan portrayed as a woman. This production is simply offering the possibility of another point of view. That is, the role of the theatre. Simply ask the question, imagine if. So why? Why would I imagine that the Maid of Orleans would be not a maid? What would be the point of imagining that? Doesn't that undermine the crux of the story? Why not make Joan a man? Why not? Why not make her a man? What difference would it make? Now, like, the whole thing becomes unraveled when you take out sort of key linchpin things. I mean, what if Joan of Arc was actually a cow? Like, why not? I'm imagining, what if? What if Joan of Arc was a cow that led the French forces to victory? Why not? What would be stopping you if you're going to unravel yourself and unhinge yourself, unhitch yourself from, like, actually grounding this in the actual story and the key aspects of the story? Why not make it so that Joan of Arc is the fairy herself or the donkey that gets fallen in love with? Whatever. But anyway, so there was an interview with the person who had written this, and I thought it was very revealing. Let's watch.
It's going to be this big, sweaty, queer revolution, rebellion, festival of, like, joy. Joan was this working class young person who was transgressing gender at a time when it was really dangerous, and that just felt instantly, like, relatable to me. Like, I was assigned female at birth, I'm non-binary, I'm from a working class background, and I've often felt like I've had something to say and haven't been given permission to say it. So to get an opportunity to write this play about a character that's also trying to do that, I was like, oh, it's too good to be true, really.
Too good to be true, because it isn't true. It's nonsense, right? I mean, just the entire conception there is to remodel what had actually happened in history in order so that this person can project what they believe onto the story of Joan of Arc. I mean, for example, like, Joan of Arc was a peasant. She wasn't working class. Working class as a concept is something that came about after the Industrial Revolution, when you got a class of workers. Joan was specifically a peasant. She probably would have been advocating for burning this person at the stake because she was an insanely devout Catholic. In fact, she's probably a bit loopy, and that's why she was getting Catholic visions. But she would have been in no way been like, oh, yeah, oh, queerness, non-binariness, yeah. I'm really on board with all of those things. There's nothing about Joan of Arc that relates to this person. Absolutely nothing. And so this person has merely brought her own baggage to the story of Joan of Arc and is saying, yeah, I'm just going to bastardize this story for my benefit. For me, it's too good to be true for me. And somehow they get it. And so anyway, the next thing is, of course, the musical, if we go to the next one, the iconic Broadway musical 1776. We can go to the next one, John. Is returning with women, trans, and non-binary actors as the US founding fathers. Let's just stop on this picture a second. Let's just stop on this picture. What the F am I looking at? In what way would this apply to the founding fathers of the United States? And doesn't this just undermine every progressive narrative about the founding of the United States? Oh, it was done by straight, cishet, white men. Slave-owning straight, cishet, white men. Racial slave-owning straight, cis, white-het men. If you're going to have black women doing it, then all you can say is that the founding fathers were not the bigots you claim they are, so it completely undermines all of the progressive messaging. But also, it's totally inauthentic, because the way in which the founding fathers couched their demands for representation were because of, quote, the rights of Englishmen, the inherited rights of Englishmen. They aren't Englishmen. They are not going to be people who claim to be Englishmen. What are they appealing to? Oh, the answer is nothing. They can't appeal to human rights, whatever that's supposed to mean. So this is, again, just nonsense. It's a hollowing out of a completely meaningful act that set the stage for the United States to become the nation that it is. Now, scooping out all of the real authenticity of it, throwing that away into the gutter, we don't need any of that. That's for white men. Right? You don't understand. That's for straight white men. We don't need any of that. What we do is just wear their faces as skin suits and then claim that their culture is ours. So, okay, brilliant. Well, go ahead. But I mean, like, you can't say this isn't a form of colonization. You can't say that this isn't. I mean, imagine if the British in India were adopting all of these Indian styles and fashions and epic poems and just replacing the Indians who would have been within these with Englishmen. It'd have been like, that's obviously been colonized. That is an obvious form of colonization. And that's what's happening here. But I mean, again, like trans and non-binary actors. Yeah, okay, which founding father was trans? But again, none of that matters. None of that matters to them. And so in both of these cases, this totally overturns the racial narrative of slavery. Like, just to do this, it makes no sense. But anyway, in both of these cases, the story that is being presented is completely undermined. Right. If Joan of Arc isn't a woman, she can't fulfill the prophecy of a woman redeeming France from the English. If the founding fathers aren't claiming their rights as Englishmen against the king, how can they make the king doesn't have an argument, doesn't have a right to just tax them without representation? The authenticity of the story is destroyed. The moral lessons that the stories impart are totally corrupted. And that is precisely the point. If they can corrupt our stories, then they can corrupt our moral sense of self. And you can say, okay, well, I don't really know what I'm supposed to believe then. And they'll come along and say, hi, have you considered being a communist like us? Because that's what all of this is. All of these people, whether they know it or not, are implanting literally the alien and facehugger, the seed of communism. Now you might be like, oh, you're going too far. No, I'm not going too far, which we will talk about in the next one.
To watch the full video, please become a premium member at lotuseaters.com.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Switching between tools for one project gets disjointed, especially on tight deadlines. Grammarly built a game-changing writing surface tailor-made for professionals to help you move your ideas forward and sharpen your writing. You can brainstorm ideas, summarize meeting notes in seconds, or strengthen a proposal without context switching. Easy to get started and even easier to finish. Sign up for Grammarly free and get your professional writing from draft to done. Visit Grammarly.com. That's Grammarly.com.
There's nothing like being in the stands cheering on your favorite team. Game Time is your hack to unlocking amazing tickets in just a few taps. Plus, their Game Time guarantee means you can trust you'll get 100% authentic tickets at the best price. Fees are always included, so what you see is what you pay. Get the best deals on sports tickets. Download the Game Time app and create an account to start searching for tickets to upcoming games and events. Swipe, tap, ticket, go. Game Time.